naked, having not the robe of Christ's righteousness, because they know not God. We can provide them with that. I was sick. Sick with sin, sick with affliction, sick with so many sorrows, so many troubles, and we hear of them day after day after day, and we know about them. We're involved in so far as we see it on every hand. And we can do what we can. And this sickness we're speaking of here is a sickness that is because of a failure to know the Word of God. In prison. Prison house of death. They can't get around it. There's no way. You're bound. That they are. And we can help them to see and understand through Christ. They can become free of that prison. These are all things we can do now. But as we said, this picture belongs to the millennial age, and one of the main reasons we know it is because in Ephesians we are told that as far as the church is concerned, they're prepared before the foundation of the earth. So we look at these things. These are things we can do now in a spiritual way, and yet it is not enough. And we can do all of these things in bringing forth of the Lord. It is still not enough. There is something else that we must do if indeed we not only hear it is enough, but well done, thou good and faithful servant. Two things. We must speak in His name beyond the things which we have brought out here. In speaking of the time of trouble, the vengeance of our God, these are things we must speak about and expect opposition and problems and troubles. And certainly in just giving forth the Word of God, as we had pointed out these various ways that it can be done. And we must suffer with Him. Now that suffering comes pretty much by speaking in His name and doing the things that the Lord would have us to do, in walking circumspectly. So it was a matter of suffering involved in it. But then the question is, how much is enough? Well, let's consider beloved Apostle Paul. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we'd like to begin the reading with the 16th verse. 2 Corinthians, Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:18. Let's just consider that for the moment. The Apostle Paul says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." There's a difference. Paul recognized it, and he's pointing it out. So bear that in mind. It's not a matter who commends himself, but the Lord that does. So bearing that in mind, the Apostle Paul found opposition because of the fact that when he was Saul, he persecuted the church. And there were those who now, in noting that he is Paul, that yet they look back upon what he did. And therefore, in seeing those things, they made it very difficult for Paul. And so Paul, after so long a time, he found that it is enough, that it is necessary, that he must stand up and say things he might not otherwise say. What happened is that he proceeds to recount some things that you might call boasting. The world may call boasting. But the boasting, if you call it that, is in the Lord. So now here we have Paul finding it necessary to defend himself because and for the gospel. That's the only reason he's doing it. So here we have 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Begin our reading with the 16th verse. I like the Moffat translation in this, but I have the King James Version with me. I don't have Moffat. Paul says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. For a purpose. Think me a fool if you would, but if so, a fool for Christ. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. So being wise, why you're willing to suffer a fool. Excuse me. Sometimes I get excited and my voice doesn't go along with me. For you suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, and he said, I speak foolishly, but I have something I must say. I am bold also. They're bold, I'm bold, for a reason and a purpose. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So, with them who you may listen to, so also with me. I'm as they in these respects. He said, are they ministers of Christ? He said, now I speak as a fool, and we add as fool for Christ's sake. He said, I'm more, simply because I am following the Master. He said, in labors more abundant than they, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, and I've been in the deep. Now this is almost as though to tell you, when I hear, look what I've gone through. Well, he's doing it simply to show that now here are they who oppose me, and if they suffer, then here's what I suffer the more for Christ. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings, and that often, cold, naked, besides these things that are without, that's when cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. Said, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? That it hurts me. Now these are all things the apostle is pointing out for a purpose. Says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not, that I speak the truth. So then going back to the 30th verse, if I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmity, that I'm weak and glory in that weakness. So you look at what all that Paul went through, and you ask yourself, is it enough? In the apostle's case, it was not enough. He still had to continue on. It was not enough until the Lord said so, and that was not until the apostle's head was laid on the chopping block and the sword was raised and brought down. Then it was, it is indeed enough. This, in effect, is what the Lord said. No matter what we suffer, what we go through, whatever it may be, until the Lord says it is enough. It is not enough. Our next scripture concerns something as far as we're concerned, and our offering we put upon the altar. Turn with me, if you will, to Leviticus, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse. This has to do with the 8th day and with the consecration of the priesthood and the 8th day. There's a picture in here for us as part of the prospective bride of Christ, insofar as whether or not we make our calling and election sure. The picture is there that Brother Russell deals with in Tabernacle Shadows 45, paragraph 2. We'd like to spend a few moments with it. What he brings out there, and perhaps draw a lesson from it. Leviticus 8:22. Now, he adds the first ram of consecration, and now the other one is brought in, the 22nd verse, 8th chapter. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of the Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And we know, we all understand, that with the ear it pictures our hearing by faith, and with the hand putting forth to do the Lord's bidding, and our feet to go forth in the Lord's way. We understand the picture there, Brother Russell bringing it out to us. And he took the fat in the rump and all the fat that was upon the inward. We know that's the fat of the zeal, the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder. And out of the basket of the unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And out of these cakes, picturing our consecration to the Lord and our possession of the Holy Spirit, and he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands and waved them for the wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took them off their hands and burnt them on the altar. Okay, now we have the picture here, and Moffat brings it forth a little better insofar as how this was done. A wave offering gives a thought of a waving like so, but the other translations bring out it's to and fro. Now, if you've seen a shoulder of a ram and have an idea the size of it and the cakes and all that's put on there, and it's put on Aaron and his sons to wave this back and forth, until Moses takes it off his hand. They did not take it off themselves. They had to wait until Moses took it off. So the back and forth motion, you can imagine they could get pretty weary. Just doing it without anything on, you can figure without anything on the hand how tired you could get. But with this weight, you have a picture of a wave offering that you do not decide when it is enough. You waved it enough. Moses decided that, which pictured God, who decides when our wave offering is enough. Remember that, friend. This is the lesson, if no other, for all that I have said in this hour. We continue. We'd like to look now at Matthew's, the 10th chapter, 25th verse. This is a remark that was made by our Master. It is one we want to bear in mind as often as we can. Matthew 10:25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now here the master is speaking about it being enough. And that is that the servant be as his master. He says that is enough. Brother Russell speaks about this in Volume 3, page 231. And pointing out the fact that whatever the life for Christ was, what he did, the footsteps he trod, it is enough that we follow him and do as he did. Speak as he spoke, act as he acted, as best we can. Imitators of Christ. It is enough that you do that. In this case, it is enough, because that's what's required if indeed we are to hear that well done. Let's go now to the 14th chapter of Luke, the 10th verse. Christ is giving a picture here, and we might go back to the 8th verse. He said, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, that which we spoke about when we began, and certainly we've been bidden to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him, the both of you, come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But rather than do that, when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. So the picture the master is bringing forth here is a very simple one. But there's a lesson to be learned. Brother Russell speaks of this in reprint 54:14. And he states, honor must be reached in the proper manner. This is what it teaches. You get the picture as though it's a tri-level house, or bi-level if you will, in which you have a lower room, a higher room, and maybe one higher than that. And you go in, and the desire is to go to the higher room. But then somebody comes in that is more prominent than you, and he says, no, you go down to the lower room. But he said, now the idea is that when you come in, you sit in the lower room first, and then he may say to thee, go up higher. This is the matter that he concludes by saying, For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. But as Brother Russell adds, not necessarily to the highest order. But the exaltation will be there because the Lord desires it so. So then we know that whatever the Lord asks us to do, we do. But when the time comes and the Lord has said it is enough, if indeed we may go up higher, there's something that crossed my mind, and it happened because of what happened in Pickpa. Beloved Dudley Chastain has a wife, and I've seen her many times, but I don't remember her. So I said to Dudley, is your wife here? He said, sure, she's here. She's been here all day. I said, who is she? So he proceeded to get her and bring her to me. And once I said, oh, sure. Well, I got to thinking, you will find that the sisters of elders are not very well known by the brethren. You will find that in the case of perhaps, Marjorie Parkinson, she's Carl's mother-in-law. Oh, that's Marjorie's mother. That's the only way they know her. She, of course, is not the wife of an elder, but the fact that it's the way she's known, because the French just don't know her that way. She's not in a higher place where it can be known who she is. And so we find in many cases that the elders and their wives, the wives, are not that well known. But lo and behold, here they are. They carry on, they hold up their husband's hand, and they do the things that a good wife does because they love their husband, and they actually are a part of his service. So it's something that crossed my mind that at the time, that if indeed it may be that by the Lord's grace, if it's possible, that I may hear that well done, then when I arrive and I'm ushered in, that I expect indeed to see in the higher places the wives of the elders who were so humble and meek insofar as, well, where is your wife? Who is she? But it's a thought that crossed my mind. I speak of it insofar as that if the Lord puts us in a higher place, it's because he put us there. We didn't go there. There's more to be said, more precious things. Our beloved Lord Jesus, his last 7 days, and the suffering that he went through, the cross, that which he bore. When he said it is enough, in effect, or it is finished, in effect, the Lord has said it is enough. We look at those 7 days of Christ, and we ask a question to ourselves or of ourselves. If we knew that we had just 7 days, no more, the next Saturday, from this time, that the Lord would say, it is enough, and we knew that, how much different when we act than we will act when we leave here. It's a question to ask ourselves. So we look back, and we note that we are journeying to that desired haven of rest to be a part of that bride, the bride of Christ. And it all depends on what we do now, and we have only this moment. And so it is until that time when the Lord will say, it is enough. And the question is indeed, is it enough or isn't it? We have more to do in the answer to that question, we might think, because our actions will determine it. Because the Lord will only help us. We must go and be and do. And He makes the decision whether or not it is enough.
Thank you, Brother Edgar, for sharing those thoughts with us on it is enough, for encouraging us to faithfulness, and indeed for adding so much life and zest to your discourse as you always do. Brother Edgar will dismiss us with prayer, and then if you'd please be seated for a brief announcement.
Oh, dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We bow before Thee in thanksgiving and rejoicing, thanking Thee, Father, for the glorious hope Thou hast set before us, that we might indeed would be with our Master, be a part of that bride, yea, the bride of Christ. Help us in our efforts. Forgive us for our failings. Be with us. This we ask continually in our beloved Lord Jesus, through whom we speak unto Thee. And when the time comes, indeed, and it shall be enough, we trust that by Thy grace and with Thy help, that we may hear that well done, Thou good and faithful servant. These things we leave unto Thee, give thanks, rejoicing continually, for all the things Thou hast done for us, in our beloved Lord Jesus' name. Amen.